one place. Go to 1 John chapter 4 first. I guess it doesn't matter. You can go to Romans 12 first. We've been doing a series on spiritual warfare. The last week I did one lesson on mind renewal. Today I'm going to do it. Thank you, Marty. I'm going to do another lesson on mind renewal. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Probably most of you can quote it. I'll get there in a minute. I drove by on my way in this morning, and I took the back way, and I see people's wood stove, smoke coming out of their wood stoves. They've still got their wood stoves going in the middle of May. They are. I heard that. I've seen it snow in June. It's the latest I've ever seen it. But you know, once it's gone, it might as well stay gone until next fall. It doesn't do anybody any good right now. Poor man's fertilizer, they used to call it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what we've been talking about in spiritual warfare is the battle of the mind, and we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's what we're talking about, renewing our mind. And then if you would please now go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So what you have mentioned here is in verse 1, you're to try the spirits. And then in the last verse, it talks about there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error. So when we talk about renewing our minds, we're trying to get people to renew their minds so they think like God, learn to think like the Lord. Now, we've got to get our thought life under control. For those in bondage, this would be critical. That's why it ties into a last series on spiritual warfare. But it's critical for all of us. And so last week, a little bit of review, we mentioned from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you are to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You're to yield everything to the Holy Spirit, including your mind. And we also reminded ourselves that the Bible is our final authority. And then we gave a six-step plan, daily discipline for mind renewal. You got to test your thoughts. You got to test that thought. Where did that thought come from? Did it come from God? Did it come from the devil? Or did it come from me? You have to refuse wrong thoughts. Some thoughts are obvious and easy to tell if they're wrong or not. You refuse wrong thoughts. You got to learn, as we looked in James, you got to learn to resist the devil. When a wrong thought comes, you got to learn to say no. And then you've got to share every thought with the Lord immediately. Particularly if it's not, I say every, but I don't mean every little single thought. Like, I wonder if I should stop and get a cup of coffee. You know, you don't share that with the Lord. You know, you make a decision and you get a cup of coffee. It's not that difficult to figure out. But anyway, and something that's going to affect your life in a sense that you would share it with the Lord. And then you memorize God's word, and then you set your mind on things above. Now, this morning, I want to go back to verse 1 here, and I want to think about this whole idea of believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. You've got to identify wrong thoughts, because some are right and some are wrong. Now, we live in a world of relativism where everybody is right. But that's not possible. Everybody can't be right. So there is a right and there is a wrong. And I'm going to be teaching on the Bible. I did at 8:30 and I will a little bit later on. But if something is opposite of the Bible, it's wrong. And you can't justify it any way at all. And everybody's trying to justify everything they do, okay? So some of these things that may appear to be good may not be good. May even appear as a religious thought that you may never bring into question or question its origin. But I will tell you, I think that one of the biggest areas in our society today in America, religious deception is one of Satan's greatest tools. I mentioned this at 8:30, and I don't know that I'll mention it at 11 or not, if I may. But I was telling, the other morning I'm driving down the road, it was about 4:30, and it was between 4:30 and 5, somewhere in there. And I'm listening to this radio channel, WIBX, that's 95 AM. And I listen to that quite a bit because it's the local news. And they're talking about the word Elohim, and it was a religious program, and it was just bizarre. Bizarre. And then they got a phone call in from a guy in Alaska. Boy, I'm glad to hear you say this. I've decided to forget everything I've ever been taught about the Bible, whether it's Baptist or whatever, it doesn't make any difference, and he used different religious names, and I'm going to forget it all, and I'm going to start all over and see what I can come up with. Well, in the context of some of this stuff, it was like, boy, these guys are out in left field. And then I stopped and got out of the car, but I didn't listen to the whole thing. You have got to do what verse 1 says here. You got to try the spirits. Then within our churches, you had the purpose-driven movement. I don't know if you know what that is or not. Most of you do, I think. It was a movement where it was this, we're going to take the church out of churches, make church less churchy, and cater to the felt needs of everybody. And so they cater to the felt needs of everybody. And no Bible, no doctrine. Then we went to the emergent church, which is bizarre. They have some crazy things going on. But part of that in there is what I refer to is contemplative, just remember the word mysticism, where it's almost like Zen meditation. Is that how I say that, Zen? And it has a lot of that stuff in there. And it's done in a church, and so people are embracing all of this. This stuff is of the devil, a lot of it. And they're embracing this stuff because it's connected to a religion or religious. It's one of Satan's great tools. Now, most all cults have some truth involved with them. If the enemy, Satan, can render us useless, I'm telling you, he'll use anything. How do cults get started? Sincere people get led astray. What's that girl's name on television? She's exposing Scientology for what it really is. What's her name? Something like that. And boy, some of the stuff that they have brought out about Scientology, it's like, it's all about making money. It's the whole thing is about. And but this stuff is bizarre. Oh, yeah, that's out there. And the worst thing with that is part of the purpose-driven philosophy, but I don't want to chase this rabbit too far. Rick Warren was the guy that started it, him along with Bill Hybels. They even said, plant your churches in rich neighborhoods so you can target those people because they got the money. Well, what about those of us that don't have the money? Don't we count? You know. But anyway, yeah, there's a whole bunch of that. And, you know, the prosperity gospel is, you know, enjoy life, get healthy, wealthy, and rich, and, you know, God bless you. So there's a lot of that out there today. But let's pretend Satan used anything. Let's suppose somebody struggles with assurance of salvation. You know, the enemy wants to rob us of our peace and joy and make us a slave to religion, who serve God out of a sense of fear and guilt instead of out of a sense of love and appreciation. We ought to serve the Lord because we love him. Love endures. We ought to serve the Lord because we're appreciative that he's done us. You ought to read your Bible. But you ought to read your Bible Not because you have to and to be able to cross it off your checklist in the morning, but you ought to read your Bible because you love God's word and you love God. Now, some people get argumentative in all of with some of the stuff in the Bible, some of all the stuff in the Bible. So we ought to have peace and we ought to have joy to be able to enjoy life. Paul said to be content in whatsoever things we have and have some fun along the way. We'll be able to discern the Spirit when we weigh our thoughts against one thing. What is it? God's word. You have to weigh it against God's word. And if it's not biblical, you refuse wrong thoughts. Now, scriptures give us ways Satan attacks the mind. I think this is somewhat as important and shows how important it is. Satan has tremendous ability. But let me just tell you what Satan can do. And I got several references that I won't read them all, but I'll give them to you. First of all, Satan can darken or blind the mind. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, where Paul said he blinds the mind so they won't receive Christ as Savior? That's a paraphrase. But Satan has the ability to do that. He can blind your mind or darken your mind. That's why if it's renewed with the Word of God, the Spirit of God has the ammunition of the Word of God to bring to your mind. Secondly, he wants to corrupt the mind. Look at some of these with me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Actually, skip that one, but you can write it down. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts 5. This is a story of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold the possession. They kept back part of the price. They did not have to give it all originally, let me say that, but they said they would. They made a promise. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? See, you didn't have to do that. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. By the way, he very, very clearly identifies the Holy Spirit as God there. Verse 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out of and buried him. And then it goes and talks about his wife the same thing. Now let me ask you a question. Who put those thoughts into his mind? Satan did. Satan has the ability to put thoughts into our mind. He can corrupt the mind, puts bad thoughts, puts evil thoughts. And I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to. So we had the co-op, had a yard sale to raise money for the co-op kids. And they'd come up and pay, and they'd have their stuff. And Amber was working, the girl you would pay. And so a lady brought up a ball of stuff. She picked it up, and she had it full of all other stuff that she wasn't intending to pay for. She goes, it said so much money for the basket. Well, she filled the basket up underneath what she had. Who puts a thought? That's stealing. What people do, you're getting stuff, or you're almost giving it away. But that's a corrupt mind. People were changing price tags on stuff. I'm like, seriously, people? But that's how corrupt people's minds can be. And Satan puts, I don't know how people think of stuff like that other than that Satan puts weird thoughts into people's minds. I've seen people, I will tell you, and I won't name them, but I've seen them with my own eyes and I know them, go into maybe a JCPenney or a Walmart or a store like that and say, well, this pair of sneakers or Phillipsons or whatever, this pair of sneakers is $40. The ones I want are $80. And then walk up and argue with the cashier person. Well, this tag was on it. This is what I got to get it for, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, where do you come up with this stuff? See, that's a corrupt mind. That's not, where is that? Does that thought come from God? No. You just got to try the thought. Some of them are pretty easy. But what else can Satan do? Deceive the mind with his wiles. Ephesians chapter 6 rather than verse 11. He can deceive the mind. Because Satan is a trickster. That's what the word wiles means. And he throws these fiery darts, and he knows exactly what he wants to accomplish and where he wants that dart to land on you. And so he deceives your mind. And you know, once your mind is deceived, you'll think what's right is right, and it'll really be wrong. And what's wrong is right. You'll be all messed up. Fourthly, he prevents understanding the Word of God. In the Gospels, there's a parable of a sower went forth to sow seed. And he sowed some seed, and some of it fell along the wayside. It'd be like a hard-packed trail, and on the side of it would be hard-packed ground. And so before that seed could spring forth fruit, the birds would come along and snatch it away. And it wouldn't bear any fruit. Well, the devil comes along and snatches it away. And the seed doesn't bring forth fruit. And he has the ability to do that. But here's something else Satan can do. And I want you to see this when it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because I mentioned this morning also, you don't get your theology from Hollywood. But they came out with a movie based on a book about a young boy who supposedly went to heaven. And I can't remember the name of the movie. I watched about 15 minutes of it, and then that was enough of that. But people buy into this stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan can come as an angel of light. And you know what he does? He spreads darkness. He spreads deceit. He spreads lies. Sixthly, he even uses seducing spirits to lead men away from the truth to a lie. That's where we started in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's mentioned there. But churches can abuse people. And then it's awful. Now, why is it then so important to practice trying the spirits? Here is how the scripture describes a mind in tune with God and under the control of the Spirit. So you test if your mind is in tune with the Holy Spirit. First of all, one ready and eager to receive the truth of God's word. Now, people can get heavy-eyed, it's one thing. But I sit here and I look at people when I'm preaching and teaching, sometimes when brothers like Tony was here last week and people are here, and they're looking out the windows and staring out the windows and looking around, turning around, looking at the clock. I guess maybe they see me look at the clock so they feel like they need to know what time it is too or something. You know what it means when a preacher looks at a clock usually? Nothing. It's just something that we do. It doesn't mean much. But I try to see where I am at 8:30 so I know what I might have to adjust for 11 if I have to. But anyway, it is one, you come into church, man, you ought to be ready and eager to hear the word of God. When people are slapping, that's a combination of the word sleep and nap, slap. When you are sleeping or napping, or I got to go to the bathroom 17 times to go get 4 drinks of water and a cup of coffee. You know, listen, that's not really how you come to hear the word of God. Okay, you ought to come to hear the word of God. But this mind, one that is ready and eager to hear God's word, it produces humility in us. And it produces a spirit of submission that you're going to submit to the things of the Lord. Thirdly, it's a spiritual mind. It's thinking spiritual. Okay, people that are changing tags on prices, they're not thinking spiritual. People that walk into the Phillipsons and say, "I'm going to buy this for this and do this," that's not a spiritual thought. When they pull up, and you can't do this anymore because now you have to pay before you get gas. But people would, I could never figure out how people got away with driving all the way without paying for the gas. And they'd fill their car up with gas, and then they'd set the thing down on the side so it doesn't shut off, so the attendant doesn't see it's off, and away they'd go. I'm like, who thinks of these things? But they do. I was reading an article the other day where maybe I was listening to it on the news, I forget which, but a lady was stopped going through the thing in an airport. And the lady that was there checking noticed her shoes seemed awful thick. So they took her shoes off her, cut them open, full of cocaine. Now, I'm like, how do people come up with these ideas? They have criminal minds. I was visiting an under jail one day. And I got done visiting whoever I was talking to. It was Oneida County Jail, and it was a group-like room. And so we're getting ready to leave. But before they leave, they check the prisoners, and they check the guests. Well, this one prisoner they checked, and he had a balloon in his mouth, and it had drugs in it. And when his wife or girlfriend or whoever it was gave him a kiss goodbye, she passed the balloon to him so she would, oh, and she got caught. And the correctional officer says, and young lady, you're in some serious trouble. But like, and then I'm like, well, what's he going to, you know. It's funny, he didn't swallow up the balloon. And then the cop said, that's not what they're going to do. He'll swallow the balloon. Okay, this is gross. He'll pass the balloon, then he'll take the drugs out of it to have them for later. Now, who thinks of this kind of stuff? It's unbelievable how wicked the mind can be. So there's to be a spiritual mind. You've got to be receiving the word of God. And it's got to be willing. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, if let's say you've got something going on in your life, and you hear the preacher say something or the Sunday school teacher say something, and it contradicts your life, are you willing to change? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to grow, mature? And let me just add this because it'll go with my morning message. If you're not, and the Spirit of God has clearly illuminated your mind and revealed truth to you, and you say no to that, he just may not reveal to you any more truth. Why should he? You're not willing to obey as it is. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 calls it a sound mind. What's a sound mind? A sound mind is sober. Now, I know we're not supposed to be drunk ever, but sober there really means clear-headed, to be able to make right decisions. That's why a pastor's not given to wine. A pastor doesn't drink at all. Why? Because he may be called upon at any time, night or day, to make an important decision. And so he's got to be clear-headed. He's got to be sober-minded. He's got to be able to make a good decision. Well, it's a sound mind. And then, in the same passage, 2 Peter 3, 1, it's a pure mind. It is a mind in tune with God and under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's a renewed mind. Those six things. Now, that's now when you mature in your Christian walk with the Lord and you begin to learn a little bit of Bible and you've learned some truth, and then you'll hear something and you'll say, that's not right. That's a renewed mind. Or you'll hear something and you'll say, amen, that is right. I agree. That is a renewed mind. That's the renewed mind that Paul's talking about. Renew your mind. And that's what it looks like. It's one ready and eager to receive God's word. It produces humility and submission. It's spiritual. It's willing to make changes if necessary. It's a sound mind, clear-headed, and it's a pure mind. It's a mind in tune with God, and it's under the control of the Spirit of God. Now, go back to Romans chapter 12. Oops. I hope you can begin to see the difference. Where does your mind fit in? Is it a spiritual mind or is it a carnal mind? You say, well, it's somewhere in between. Okay, the goal is, as you renew your mind, is to go from the carnal or somewhere in between to the spiritual mind. So we learn to think like God. Where does your mind fit? Anywhere. The primary exhortation to mind renewal is in this text. Now let me read it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the first thing we do is we surrender our mind to the Lord. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, along with everything else of our body as well, okay? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You start with surrender of yourself to the Lord. Then, you're not conformed to this world. Well, usually when a person gets saved, they are conformed to this world. I was conformed to the world when I became a Christian. So now, I'm willing to make some changes. I'm not going to be conformed to the world anymore, but I'm going to be transformed. Okay, what's going to change me? I'm going to renew my mind by the Word of God. Because the Bible, all of a sudden, at 21 years old, the Bible becomes the authority in my life. When I surrendered, you know what I surrendered? I surrendered my will and my authority, and I gave it to God. And I said, I'm now under your will, and I'm now under your authority. So now I'm going to do what you tell me to do. That's surrender. So as I grew in the Lord, and I will have to admit, I didn't know nothing. Absolutely nothing. I didn't know any Bible. I'd never read a page of Bible. Want to hear the truth? I didn't even own a Bible. Didn't even own a Bible. Somebody gave me a New Testament. It was the first Bible I had. I carried my New Testament everywhere I went. I wish I still had it. When I was at work, if I had a little bit of free time, I'd read my Bible. I must have read through that New Testament 10 times. I mean, it was marked up and had grease on it from cover to cover, you know, black from working at the mill. And I'd get a 5-minute break and I can wash my hands. I didn't wash my hands to eat. You know, you just, when you get a break, you take your break and do what you got to do. Or, you know, some of you guys worked in a mill, you know how it is. So, you know, you read your Bible and you get greasy, but I still read it. I read it, and read it some more. And then as God showed me things and I'd grow and I was willing to make those changes. Now, I saw this on a little button somewhere. It said this: if Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. However, if Jesus says it, that's right. It's settled. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. If Jesus said it, it's settled. It is irrelevant of what I could be rebellious and wrong. So, but I saw that little button and I said, you know, I'm going to do that. And then I kind of figured out after a while, I said, well, you could kind of leave that part out. But anyway, this I think is a daily surrender. It's something that we should think about doing every day. It's a living sacrifice. That's what Paul said there. The trouble with a living sacrifice, somebody says, is it likes to crawl off the altar. It doesn't stay there. So we have to surrender ourselves all the time. Our minds are alive. Our minds are active. We take in and we process thoughts every day. We take in good thoughts. We take in bad thoughts. That's why for the Christian, mind renewal is one of the everyday disciplines of spiritual warfare. Every day. We put on our armor from Ephesians chapter 6. We have our devotions. We renew our minds. We surrender to Him. Now, I think this. We can train our minds the same way we train our bodies. You do not need to be dominated by your old way of thinking. In fact, that can be completely changed. Your thoughts are not authoritative. To accept them as authoritative is to set yourself up for real problems. What is authoritative? The presence of a thought does not mean you have to obey it, nor does it mean it's going to necessarily happen. Your thoughts are not authoritative. We do not create reality by our thought life. You do not have to carry it out. You don't have to do that. Having a wrong thought does not make you guilty. Having a wrong thought does not make you sinful. Only if you keep that thought or you act on that thought. Anybody can have a bad thought from time to time. There will be a war. But I will remind you, the war has been won. Jesus won the war. Now, here's the question. Who or what, however you want to say that, who controls your mind? The Holy Spirit of God or the devil? And here's why we need mind renewal. Let me give you a few thoughts to think about. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Why labor on the thought life? Why spend last week and this week and probably next week again talking about our thoughts? Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this: for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know why? What we think, we become in time. The focus of our desires, that's our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds determine what our future actions will be. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, let me give you, I got time to do this and then I'll stop. I'm going to give you 9 scriptural terms to describe our minds. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, there is a sound mind and is compared to a timid mind. A timid mind is one that... You ever come across somebody that can't make a decision? It's like, I've always said this. Make a decision. If it's wrong, fix it later, but at least make a decision. Do something. When I was young, my wife's going to pick on me. I was the farmer, all right? I loved it. Anyway, we had these old tractors. Well, they didn't have no power steering. They were Armstrong, okay? That was the only power steering they had. And so while you were sitting still, you couldn't hardly turn the front wheels of these tractors, especially the ones. We had the narrow front end ones. They were dangerous, but you could turn them. But the wide front end ones, they were tougher to turn. And the little narrow ones weren't the easiest. But you know what you find out? Once you get it moving, and I don't care if you're going 5 miles an hour, boy, it sure turned easier. Well, it's kind of like your spiritual walk. If you make a decision, you know where you're going to go? Nowhere. It's easier to steer a moving vehicle than one setting still. And now I think every car, I think I read where Yamaha snowmobiles put power steering on their snowmobiles. I mean, you don't need a power steering on a snowmobile. You know, but they're putting it on everything. But it's easier to steer your life when it's moving than sitting still doing nothing. So a timid mind you don't want. There's a sound mind. Second comparison, a pure mind that is compared to a mind that is distorted by wrong philosophy. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. You say, well, I'm not a philosopher. Everybody's a philosopher. You have something. When you go to vote, you have a philosophy that directs the way you vote. You can call it something different if you want to, but we all have a philosophy on life. Okay? A spiritual mind compared to a carnal mind. Carnal means worldly. You either have a mind that's geared toward the things of the Lord or a thing that's geared to the world. Then that's Romans 8, 6 through 9. And then in 1 Peter 1, 13, you have a girded mind compared to an undisciplined mind. A girded mind is like you've pulled up and you're ready to go when it's focused. Fifthly, there's a garnished mind, and it's compared to an unprotected mind in Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. And so it's the next one. You say, what do I protect my mind with? The Word of God. You protect it with the Word of God. Then another one from Philippians 4. Sixthly, there's a renewed mind compared to an uncommitted mind. So we've been talking about mind renewal and submission and surrendering our minds. There is a renewed mind that's compared to the uncommitted mind in Philippians 4. There's a humble mind that's compared to a proud mind. That's Philippians 2 and Colossians 3. Then there's a sober mind that's compared to a mind that's controlled by outside forces. And then there's a willing mind compared to a rebellious mind. 1 Chronicles 28:9. I think that's first. It might be second, but it's one of them Chronicles. It's a willing mind compared to a rebellious mind. Now, some people say this. Well, you're just trying to mind wash us. That's not the right word. Is that the right phrase? That's the word. Mind wash. I was in the right neighborhood, okay? I was in the ballpark. Brainwash. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. Oh, well. I'd be embarrassed, but I say so many things wrong, and pretty much what I say never embarrasses me. Anyway, see, you're trying to brainwash us. Actually, we're not trying to brainwash anybody, but we would love for the Word of God to brainwash you. You to learn to think like the Bible and learn to think like God. That's what it is. So I know there's this mind, that mind, and all the other kinds of minds. I'm going to stop there. But I am telling you, we have to renew our mind. Let's look at one last passage of Scripture before we go. Philippians chapter 4. Now, you have to be committed to reading the Bible, learning the Bible, making the adjustments that the Bible calls for us to make. You know, biblical repentance in its basic form is a change of mind. You just change your mind. The way you used to think, you don't think that way anymore. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible even tells us what we are to think on. And we should think that way. Well, Father, I pray that every person here will be committed to mind renewal. They will think like you. They will learn the precepts of the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, as I said earlier and as I'll say later. They won't learn them overnight. Even the disciples didn't learn them as quickly. But we can learn them. And we can have a mind that is renewed and controlled by the Spirit of God. And ultimately, we can walk with you. We can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in truth. We can follow you. We can be obedient to you. It's not impossible, and it's certainly not all that difficult, really. I pray that we'd be committed to this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listen.